Welcome back, friends. So we're on to sloth or acedia, which is really the vice we will hone in on. Physical laziness, but it's also a disinterest in spiritual matters or neglecting spiritual growth. Acedia or spiritual sloth goes so far as to refuse the joy that comes from God and to be repelled by divine goodness. Number 2094. I'm going to list them and then we can come back and comment as we care to. Number 6, anger or wrath. Uncontrolled feelings of hatred or rage. Anger is a desire for revenge. The Lord says, everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. Paragraph 2302. Number 7, envy, sadness or desire for possessions. Happiness, talents, or abilities of another. Envy can lead to the worst crimes. Through the devil's envy, death entered the world. Number 2553.
Yeah, just envy. I mean, it's so interesting. Like, I always think that pride is one of the top capital sins, because Satan wants people to be like him. So the one that he's going to push the hardest is the one that he suffers from the most, right? But at the end of the day, he is the master of all of those sins, because they're all, he's the author of death. And I think how little, like, if he can get you to take a drug that will make you feel nothing. Wow.
Isn't that sloth or acedia then?
Absolutely.
Disinterested in spiritual matters, neglecting spiritual growth.
Right, entirely.
And refusing the joy that comes from God.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes.
How, you know, I mean, and it really is true that a human person truly becomes a slave to sin, right? And once you are a slave to sin, it's as though you have no will to fight anymore, right? And I think you'd rather just be numb. And that's really, I mean, what a devastating point that we have come to, that the antidote to despair or malaise is no longer joy, but numbness. Right, Novocaine. And it's such a counterfeit, right? To think that the best you can do is to feel nothing, right? I'd rather, if I feel terrible all the time, yeah, I would rather just feel nothing. Well, no, I mean, then where's the joy? And that's so much like God wants so much more for you than just nothingness or numbness. Right. I mean, if he didn't want you to enjoy chocolate, he wouldn't have made it taste good. Right. If he didn't want you to enjoy steak, beef wouldn't taste good. Right. I mean, these are things that he has given to us because he's good. Right. Not because we're good necessarily. We're good because we're created in his image and likeness. There is a goodness to us that we can recognize. And it's interesting because I do think that God calls us to live in community, because it's easier for me to see goodness when I see you than when I see myself, right? I can look at the other and I can say, wow, she's beautiful. Wow, she's kind. Oh my goodness, he's so generous. He is so strong. He provides so well for his family. I can see goodness in you with my own eyes, right? But I am at loss to transfer that goodness back to me, which is why you exist, because you can say to me, well, I see goodness in you this way, right? And we become to one another when we're living a good, holy Christian life. We become mirrors of one another, right? We reflect back and forth to one another that goodness, that God. That's why we have to love one another, right? Why we have to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, because to fail to do that means that we will surrender to a lightless, like a lackluster numbness, we'll settle for that. And we're just not called to that. You know, God wants us to be a people of the light. He wants us to not walk in darkness. He wants us to live in joy, a fullness of joy forever.
That's right. So we took a little time defining the vices, and particularly acedia or sloth, which the subset can be from a spiritual perspective, dysphoria or, malaise. So now let's define the opposing, which is gratitude or Thanksgiving or Eucharist. So one definition is warmly or deeply appreciative of kindness or benefits received, pleasing to the mind or senses. And gratitude is the state of being grateful and thankfulness. Thanksgiving, an act of giving thanks and expression of gratitude, and especially to God. Of course, Thanksgiving Day, and the act of rendering thanks or expressing gratitude for favors or mercies. Act of the will, it's a choice, especially within the spiritual realm. And so a particular form of Thanksgiving, especially for Catholics who believe in the real presence, is the name given to the Blessed Sacrament of the altar under its twofold aspects of sacrament and the sacrifice of the Mass, in which, as sacrament or sacrifice, Jesus Christ is truly present under the appearances of bread and wine. Other titles are used, such as the Lord's Supper, Table of the Lord, the Lord's Body, and the Holy of Holies, to which may be added the following expressions, now obsolete and somewhat altered from their primitive meaning: agape, eulogia, breaking of bread, etc. But the ancient title Eucharistia, appearing in writers early as Ignatius, that would be of Antioch, Justin and Irenaeus, has taken precedence in the technical terminology of the church and her theologians. The expression Blessed Sacrament of the altar, introduced by Augustine, is at the present day almost entirely restricted to catechetical and popular treatises. This extensive nomenclature describing the great mystery from such different points of view is in itself sufficient proof of the central position the Eucharist has occupied from the earliest ages, both in the divine worship and services of the Church, and in the life of faith and devotion which animates her members.
That's interesting that Eucharistia goes back to St. Ignatius of Antioch.
Yes, it does. He wanted to be ground as the fine flower of the Eucharist by the wild beast in the Colosseum. And he was.
Well, as my mother always said, be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it.
That is right. And I think this is where the healing is really brought to a particular point, because not only within Holy Mass, but also in adoration, also in Corpus Christi processions, the many and varied ways that we have access to the Blessed Sacrament allows our Lord he's physically there in his divine, his resurrected body, but he's really and truly there, as opposed to, and there's nothing wrong with having your own prayer room and In fact, you should. Going into, you know, sitting in a nice place in a park or whatever, and you experience the goodness of God, there's nothing wrong with that. But there is something particularly illuminative, particularly appropriate for this concept of Thanksgiving and or dispelling of dysphoria and malaise that the Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament, provides.
And yeah, I mean,
no other way.
Absolutely. I mean, you were talking at the very beginning of the show of light therapy, right? You know, that it's known to have an impactful value on somebody who suffers from like a seasonal disaffective disorder, right? You know, because I was telling my husband, I grew up in Wisconsin, which was on the far east side of the central time zone. I lived 22 years in Northern Virginia, which is obviously on the east side of the eastern time zone. And now I live in Ohio, which is on the far western end of the eastern time zone. And the sun never comes up in the morning. Like this morning, it was 7:30 before the sun was out. And that just shatters my brain, right? Like, how can I be getting up at 7:30 and have it not be light? And now they're going to force me to fall back, right? So even though it's already at 7:30, I mean, I'm never going to have light before 8 o'clock in the morning, right? And that just is that I told Greg, I want a light that just kind of like illuminates our room like at 6 o'clock in the morning, like a sunrise, right? Because I know that would help me a lot. But St. Aquinas will talk about, St. Thomas Aquinas will talking about how grace builds on and perfects nature, right? So all of these things that we are aware of that can help us physically are all sort of metaphors for the truth of God. And God says himself, I am light, and in him there is no darkness, right? Going and sitting in front of the Blessed Sacrament, even if you're not Catholic, I would encourage any non-Catholic person, if you're feeling glum, look up a Catholic church and find out when they have adoration and go and get capital L light therapy. You will find that when you walk into that church, number one, it's very, very quiet. No one will be looking at you. It's not a mass. There's nothing that you have to do, but bring yourself and sit in the presence of our Lord. And he's put in a monstrance, right? It looks like this big luminescent, you know, it's just very beautiful. You probably may think that it looks like it's, you know, maybe idolatrous or something. I want you to look beyond that, right? Because you just have to go in. This is faith seeking understanding. At a minimum, walk in with the same sensibility that a Catholic would walk into that church and recognize that Catholics believe that that is the resurrected Lord presenting himself to us in a way that is, that we poor souls of weak flesh, that we can endure his beauty in, right? Because if he appeared to us truly in his resurrected self, we would be in such awe. Or we'd probably die, right? But I do, like, if you're feeling a malaise or a sadness or a sorrow that you just can't get beyond, in the same way, you know, fine, get a beautiful sun lamp, right? Do that. But then find a Catholic church that has perpetual adoration or a 40 hours devotion and go and just sit and be in the presence of God. Just sit there for an hour.
The true sun lamp. Lamp, S-O-N.
Yes, the sun lamp. Exactly right. Yes.
All right.
S-O-N light, right? Yeah.
S-O-N light. All right. Let us pick up in the next episode. Till then, fide serratio.